Good evening.
As we mentioned to our school children this morning, this is a significant day within the Christian church for us as Christians. To the world, it's just another day. But we pray by God's grace that more and more people will come to recognize the importance of this day as it leads us forward to another significant day, Good Friday, followed by another significant day, Easter Sunday, followed by another significant day, the day the Lord takes us to Himself in heaven. But it all starts with a sacrifice. A sacrifice as promised. The gospel is not just for New Testament Christians. The gospel was also for Old Testament believers. The gospel was there for them to focus in on. The same Savior at the heart of that gospel that we treasure today. And so we're looking through this Lenten season at shadows of the Savior, shadows in the Old Testament that pointed ahead to the Savior, His significance, His work, His purpose. So God bless our focus, not just tonight, but throughout the Lenten season and throughout our life here on earth, that we might stay focused on the Savior. And that this day remain significant to us all our life. Not just the day itself, but what it represents. With those thoughts in mind, I invite your attention to page 5 as we continue with our invocation. We worship this night in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God our Father, each day is a gift of your grace.
Your mercies are new every morning.
Guide our steps by the light of your word.
Shield us from harm and keep us from evil.
We now continue with the hymn, What Grace Is This? You'll find it on page 12 of our service bulletin.
Thank you.
Please stand as we turn back to page 5 of our service bulletin. We have come into the presence of God who created us to love and serve Him as His dear children. But we have disobeyed Him and deserve only His wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to Him and plead for His mercy. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, He has removed your guilt forever. You are His own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to His will.
Amen.
Please be seated. Invite your attention now to the song, Lamb of God. It's found on page 13. The choir will sing through the refrain once, and then we as a congregation will sing through the refrain. The choir will be singing the verses, and we then will be joining in on the refrains. Page 13, Lamb of God.
Thank you.
Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of the universe, who led your people Israel with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Enlighten our darkness by the light of your Christ. May his word be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. For you are merciful, and you love your whole creation. We, your creatures, glorify you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. For this Ash Wednesday service, a reading from Holy Scripture, 2 Samuel 24. Actions do come with consequences, as King David found out, leading him to rely completely on God's mercy. David was conscience-stricken after he had counted the fighting men, and he said to the Lord, "I have sinned greatly in what I have done. Now, Lord, I beg you, take away the guilt of your servant. I have done a very foolish thing." Before David got up the next morning, the word of the Lord had come to Gad, the prophet, David's seer. "Go and tell David, this is what the Lord says. I am giving you three options. Choose one of them for me to carry out against you." So Gad went to David and said to him, "Shall there come on you 3 years of famine in your land? Or 3 months of fleeing from your enemies while they pursue you? Or 3 days of plague in your land? Now then, think it over and decide how I should answer the one who sent me." David said to Gad, "I am in deep distress. Let us fall into the hands of the Lord, for his mercy is great. But do not let me fall into human hands." So the Lord sent a plague on Israel from that morning until the end of the time designated, and 70,000 of the people from Dan to Beersheba died. When the angel stretched out his hand to destroy Jerusalem, the Lord relented concerning the disaster and said to the angel who was afflicting the people, "Enough, withdraw your hand." The angel of the Lord was then at the threshing floor of Arauna the Jebusite. When David saw the angel who was striking down the people, he said to the Lord, "I have sinned. I, the shepherd, have done wrong. These are but sheep. What have they done? Let your hand fall on me and my family." On that day, Gad went to David and said to him, "Go up and build an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Arauna the Jebusite." So David went up as the Lord had commanded through Gad. When Arauna looked and saw the king and his officials coming toward him, he went out and bowed down before the king with his face to the ground. Arauna said, "Why has my lord the king come to his servant?" "To buy your threshing floor," David answered, "so I can build an altar to the Lord, that the plague on the people may be stopped." Arauna said to David, "Let my lord the king take whatever he wishes and offer it up. Here are oxen for the burnt offering, and here are threshing sledges and ox yokes for the wood." "Your majesty," Arauna gives all this to the king. Arauna also said to him, "May the Lord your God accept you." But the king replied to Arauna, "No, I insist on paying you for it. I will not sacrifice to the Lord my God burnt offerings that cost me nothing." So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen and paid 50 shekels of silver for them. David built an altar to the Lord there and sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. Then the Lord answered his prayer in behalf of the land, and the plague on Israel was stopped. Lord, have mercy on us.
And give us your peace. Amen.
We'll sing Psalm 51A, as noted there. Again, the choir singing the refrain through once, and then the congregation verses sung by the choir. Congregation joins on the refrains, and the glory be to the Father.
We are.
A reading from Holy Scripture, the book of Revelation, the third chapter. God is able to read the heart, we're reminded of. What does your heart say right now? To the angel, the church in Laodicea write, "These are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, 'I am rich, I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing.' But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Lord, have mercy on us.
And give us your peace. Amen."
Please stand for the gospel reading. A reading from Holy Scripture, the Gospel of St. Luke, the 18th chapter. Repentance is not look what I am doing, but rather relying fully on God's mercy. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, "God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get." But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Lord, have mercy on us."
And give us your peace. Amen.
Please be seated. Our next hymn, "The Lamb," is found on page 14 of our service bulletin.
Thank you.
but still yours in great abundance, God's grace, His mercy, and His peace. And this thanks to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Tell us again, Papa. Why did the Lamb have to die? The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, "This month is to be for you the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people there are. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the members of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. That same night they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire, along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or boiled in water, but roast it over a fire, with the head, legs, and internal organs. Do not leave any of it till morning. If some is left till morning, you must burn it. This is how you are to eat it, with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn of both people and animals. And I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. This is a day you are to commemorate. For the generations to come, you shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance." This is God's word. As we take a look this Lenten season at various shadows of the Savior, that is, that which in the Old Testament pointed to His coming, to His work, His purpose, His mission. Today's shadow takes us to a lamb, but not just any lamb, the Passover lamb. Now, the Israelites at the time of this exodus from the land of Egypt may not have fully grasped, even a little bit, the significance of what was all to take place associated with this exodus from the land of Egypt, and in particular with the way the meal was laid out and the purpose of that lamb. At the time, they may not have seen the significance of how that Passover lamb was pointing ahead to a more significant lamb, our Savior. But even though they may not have understood the significance then, that doesn't mean it wasn't significant then, and that doesn't mean that it's not still significant to us today. God was preparing to deliver His people, to keep them set apart, and all this according to His promise, that He would deliver His people from that land of slavery to an earthly promised land, which again just points ahead to a heavenly promised land. All in God's good time. And so when the time came for this earthly deliverance from the land of Egypt to that earthly promised land, to start it out, not just any lamb would do. God is a stickler for details. Catch those details again. What kind of lamb or goat was to be used for this meal, one without blemish or defect. No three-legged animal, no animal that you wanted to get rid of, your leftovers, not with all sorts of spots, but without defect and a certain age. And then the timing. The timing of the meal to be prepared. How long to keep that lamb or goat. And then at the same time to have it slaughtered. And then to put that blood on the door frames. Not sloppily. And then to eat it in haste. People, don't get too comfortable with this meal. Don't let it make you sleepy. Rather, follow precisely the details that I am laying out before you regarding this Passover meal. Don't add to it. Don't subtract from it. And they were to commemorate this event perfectly for generations. It was pointing ahead to something even more significant and even more perfect. Another lamb. Not just any lamb would do. Details matter when it comes to this other lamb that was being pointed ahead to with this lamb that's mentioned in Exodus. Because what do we know about Jesus, the Lamb of God, the one who takes away the sin of the world? Did he have any defect? I mean, we hear this from little on that Jesus is perfect, but can we comprehend how perfect he is? And that he had to be perfect, without blemish or defect. The season of Lent takes us through some of the temptations that Jesus had to face as the devil was trying to trip him up. Not sure exactly what Jesus was up to, but he knew it wasn't good for himself, Satan, that is. And so temptation after temptation put before Jesus, and not one trip up. Who of us can say the same thing? Because temptation is all around us. Some were able to avoid, but too many temptations we allow to make that nest in our hair and rule in our hearts. And it might be for a day. Might be for a minute. Or it might take over our entire life here on earth. But not Jesus. He had to be, and he was without defect, and for good reason. And the timing had to be right too. Galatians reminds us when the time was right, God carried out that promise of sending his son to be the Savior. God is a stickler for details. They were recorded for us in the Old Testament. They could be followed through to see their fulfillment in the New. Blood was involved. It had to be shed. And it had to be that perfect blood. Again, at just the right time for a purpose. And the Lord God calls for focus. In Hebrews, we're reminded to keep our eyes and our minds fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Because he is the Lamb that matters. And we are also reminded throughout Scripture to not add or subtract to God's plan of salvation. It's perfect the way it is. It's about the Lamb, but not just any Lamb. And it's also then about the sacrifice. Again, not just any sacrifice would suffice. I mean, people make all sorts of sacrifices, especially during the season of Lent. You know, they've given up on their New Year's resolutions, so now they'll try again during Lent. And it might be I'll give up smoking, I'll give up sweets, not chocolate, but I'll give up something that has to count for something, right? But does our giving up anything for Lent really count for something before God? Does it really matter what we do for God? It's all about what God has done for us. And American Christianity especially has flipped the focus away from Jesus, the Lamb, and put it more on what we have to do. And unfortunately, we Lutherans can fall into that trap. It's not about what we give up. It's about what God gave up, His Son, the Lamb, the sacrifice. So go ahead and give up something if you want to help you stay focused on Jesus, but don't see it as a way that's going to earn favor with God, because that's already been earned through the sacrifice of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. Examine your motive behind that, giving something up. And how many, again, maybe it's not giving up something as a way to feel good about themselves, but it's their good works. You know, Joe, not anyone here, he was a pretty good guy. He's only known to beat his wife once. But doggone it, God better let him into heaven because he was a pretty good guy. And Joe was thinking that too. I don't need this God thing. I don't need this religion thing. I got myself. What did we hear in Revelation? Lukewarm? If even that? God spits you out. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. Way too much emphasis gets put on what we do, how good we are, and we lose sight of how perfect and necessary the Lamb, Jesus, was and is. And then there are those who make sacrifices of a different kind, which reveals their true colors. Revelation also spoke to that. I got money. I got material possessions. I got my God right here. Life is just dandy the way it is. Oh, then the market crashed. Oh, no matter. I still got my Lamborghini, which just got stolen. And what did we sacrifice for the market, for the car, for the possessions? How many families have been torn apart because of misplaced priorities? How many people at work have been tossed aside to carry out your ruthless plan of becoming your own God? We need the Lamb. All of us. Not just those who focus on their works, not just those who focus on their material possessions, but each and every one of us who even know who the Lamb is and confess our faith in Him, because we too often trip up in our day-to-day walk with Jesus. And so we need the Lamb and His sacrifice, not our sacrifice. And so again, not just any sacrifice would suffice. It had to be the sacrifice of sacrifices. Namely, the one that Jesus did in our behalf. Walking that road to Calvary. Shedding His blood. Because that's the only blood that would suffice God's wrath against us. And give us that new status of forgiven. Ash Wednesday and the Lenten season and all that leads up to keeps us focused on the Lamb, Jesus, and the sacrifice he made and the blood he shed, that cleansing agent of his blood, that saving aspect of his blood. It's about the blood, his blood, perfect blood. Human blood would not do. And so Jesus was true God and true man to be sacrificed, and yet to have that sacrifice atone for the sins of you and me and the entire world. Romans talks about people perhaps giving their life for someone else, and that's a noble thing, but it doesn't compare to the life that Jesus gave up for us. People are giving up their life for a noble task to hold on to freedom across the globe. Another reminder of sin and its ugliness in our world. And the reason why we need to continually pray for the gospel to be spread throughout the world. As human blood is shed, sometimes without a viable reason why. But when that blood is shed, a greater blood can save. Because it's not so much about earthly freedom that we're to be concerned about, but our eternal freedom. That's why when the Lord talks about wars and rumors of wars and famines and earthquakes and other natural disasters as being signs that this is all temporary, and then he gives us that great commission and make haste in carrying it out, because when all is said and done, only one thing matters. What's your connection to the Lamb and the blood that he shed? Is his blood serving as a door frame around your heart? By the grace of God, it is. And by the grace of God, it will be the door frame around the hearts of many others. So when death comes calling, it may remove them from this veil of tears, but will not remove them from God's presence forever in heaven. That's what makes Ash Wednesday and the Lenten season and everything associated with it significant. That's why it's important for us to stay connected to the Lamb through his word. That's why the Lord reminds us to keep telling the next generation, not just about that Passover recorded for us in Exodus 12, but about what it foreshadowed. The sacrifice of a greater Lamb. The Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. Because his sacrifice and his bloodshed is where it's at. Dear friends in Christ, God help us keep his blood as the doorframe around our heart. Amen. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Amen. We continue with the prayer of the church. Holy and righteous God, as we begin again the solemn spiritual journey of Lent, we come before you in deep humility. We confess that we are sinners, both by the nature we inherit and by the sinful thoughts and desires, words and actions that nature produces. Because of our sins, we deserve only your wrath and punishment. Yet you reveal yourself not only as a God of holiness and justice, but as a God of mercy and love. Despairing of our own merits and worthiness, and in response to your gracious invitation, we come pleading for your forgiveness.
Lord, have mercy on us, for we are
You have revealed your love and mercy for us sinners in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior. You sent him into our world to be the atoning sacrifice for the sins of all people. Help us grasp by faith the great truth that the pain and suffering, the mockery and ridicule, and the death and punishment he endured should have been ours. Help us understand that in incomprehensible love, he suffered and died for us.
Lord,
in silent meditation, let us reflect on our sins, praise our Savior for the forgiveness he has won for us, and ask for God's continued grace to remove any doubt that we are forgiven. Lord, we also ask that you be with our brother Steve Ennis and his family as they mourn the loss of Steve's brother-in-law, Paul. We ask that you would help Steve and his family be a witness to one another and to also friends and relatives who also are mourning at this time. May they be directed to the sure hope that we can have through Jesus Christ, our crucified and risen Savior. God of grace and mercy, may your Spirit continue to be with us as we follow the way of the cross. As we contemplate the story of our Savior's passion, build us up in our faith. Renew in us the zeal to serve you by reflecting your love in our lives. Give us the desire and the ability to boldly proclaim the grace in which we stand, so that all for whom you lived and died may join us in fellowship now and in your presence forever.
We offer our humble thanks and praise, our prayers and petitions, and ourselves in body and spirit to you, Lord God. Hear us according to your promise, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
And we also pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. As we continue with the sacrament, lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
take and repent. This is the true life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all.
Thank you.
faith and grant the city of our Lord and Savior Jesus.
Now may this body which was given for you and this blood which was shed for you strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Go and live your life in peace and in joy and with confidence, for you are at peace with God. Amen. We pray. Lord God, all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works come from you. Give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments. Defend us also from the fear of our enemies, that we may live in peace and quietness, through the merits of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
Page 16
for our closing hymn, Lamb of God.
Good to see you in God's house this evening, whether that be here in person or also online. It is about the Lamb. Blessings once again on your Lenten journey. Thank you.